The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill. Okay, so you recently asked your podcast listeners for their confessions, and you are so candid on your social media. You shared that you're actually not a real redhead. Mm-hmm. You shit in your Skims.
Yep.
Your plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
What is your latest confession that you haven't shared on social media?
Oh my gosh. My toxic trait is I share everything. So I'm like, I can't even think of one I've kept private. I was going to say my most recent shocking confession is definitely that I poop my pants in my Skims. Like, hands down.
So how did that happen?
So it was after my chin surgery. So I was on medication, you know, pain meds for my chin implant, plastic surgery. And then I was eating all soft foods because I couldn't really eat much. And I swear it was these protein shakes that did me dirty. But I was eating like a ton of protein shakes and just all soft food. And I think the combination between that and the meds, I don't really know exactly, but I woke up and fully, like not fully, but like, yes, like had to change and literally throw away my pants.
Your Skims.
Yeah. Had to wash my sheets, like the whole nine yards.
I've always wondered, like I've heard of friends or people like being like, oh, like I shit my pants. Or like I had a friend of mine who was in like a Lowe's or a Home Depot and she just was like, she simply just shit her pants.
Yeah.
And she had to like buy an apron to like cover up to like get back in the car.
No, people write in all the time to our podcast. That's like a very common confession. It's like, oh, I poop my pants. Blah, blah, blah. And I think it's more common than you think. It's a combo of many different things. Could be like health related. Have you ever been close to peeing your pants? Like,
yes.
Where you're just like, I can't. There's no way I can hold it in.
Yeah.
It's like that, but you know.
That's so
even
crazy.
More intense.
Oh,
I know.
Oh my God.
I wish I could think of like a really good confession that happened recently, but that was pretty recent and that was pretty wild.
I'm trying to think if I have one, but I don't, my life has been, aside from work, like separating work and all the craziness that's happening at the office, like my life's been pretty boring.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess my latest confession is I buzzed my son's head last night and it's horrible. I have to show you a picture. I don't think I can ever touch
his
head
like
again.
You're just like over it? Over having to style the hair?
You know what? Just for reaction purposes, I'm going to show you a picture. I'll post it on my Instagram when this episode comes out so you guys can all see what I'm talking about. But, oh my God. Wait, where is this?
Like, how can it be bad? Oh, it's a little splotchy. How can you even mess up buzzing the head?
Listen, okay, I was really confident. I ordered a buzzer, like a kid's buzzer.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be so good at this. I didn't know there was rules. I didn't know it was like you have to like go against the grain, whatever that means. I don't even know what go against the grain means. But I like started it. He was eating breakfast. I was like, good, he'll be distracted. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So then my nanny took a stab at it. And there was like two giant bald spots like on his head. So I didn't start by going super short. I just like did it. And then
you're like,
still,
I have to go a little, have to clean it up.
Well, then she put the bald spots. And then I called my husband from work yesterday. I was like, Garrett, you need to go downstairs. I don't know what Daniela just did, but you have to fix what I did and what she did. So he calls me. He's like, Jesus Christ. He's like, I don't know what you guys did. So then we get home from work. Jake, my assistant, myself, Daniela, my housekeeper, and Garrett all surrounding Ace while we're like trying to figure out what to do. We made it worse.
You know, hair grows back.
It grows back.
It grows back and it grows back quick.
You're not wrong, but that's my like latest fuck up, I would say. I don't know if it's a confession, but it's my latest fuck up.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So, okay. You pooped your pants.
Yes.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Did I miss that? Because like we follow each other on TikTok.
Yes.
And I was like, I must have missed that video because that's something I would remember.
It's memorable. It's definitely engraved in my memory. That's for sure.
You know what? It's something you can laugh about. And the best part is Skim sent you more.
Yes. And all of the PR pictures that they sent me after, all of the pajamas were brown. Just in case. Actually, great marketing on their part. Yeah.
How did Leif respond?
To me pooping?
Yeah.
You know, this man is the most unfazed person you'll ever meet. Like, he doesn't give reactions to anything in life. So he's just like, okay, interesting. Helped me wash the sheets. You know, he's a team player.
My husband, I'm not kidding, would probably hold it over my head if I did this for forever. He would tell anyone who came over, I'd be like, by the way, my wife shit her pants. Like, that's just how he is. So, like, bless his heart because he seems like a really great guy. And
he's
Garrett's a great guy too, but he's also a bully to me. So Garrett, we're coming for you. So let's dive right in. Who's Jackie Marie Smith? Just kidding.
I'm like, uh-oh. I gave her the lesson before this. I said, JC and Leif. Okay, not Leif and Jackie.
Yeah, I know. And I'm the one who actually got defensive. I was like, who would call you Jackie? Who's JC Marie Smith? Tell me everything.
Oh my gosh. Where to begin? I mean, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona.
You are?
Yeah. Originally from Phoenix.
Okay.
Moved to Southern California about 5 years ago, maybe almost six at this point. Was a full-time photographer and worked with my husband, Leif. We did photo and video together. So we like shot weddings and did all that type of stuff. I have always been a very entrepreneurial, career-driven person since I was super young. My mom's really independent and super, she always made her own money, you know, and kind of like led that example for me. I think I'm a lot like her. So Leif and I, fun fact, have actually worked together since we were engaged. So when we were engaged, we started working together. He had a random job that he like didn't like at all. And he shot my friend's wedding video just for fun to like try it out because she was like, I don't have the budget for a wedding video. If you want to do it for free, great. And it was so good. And I was like, you're so talented naturally at video. We should just like do photo and video together. We were already engaged at that point. So we started working together. And then we really wanted to move out to California simply to try something new. It's like always our dream place to live. We could create our own schedule. So we just tried it out. We did not have money, but we were like, let's just do it. We moved to Long Beach in the cheapest apartment we could find. And we started building our photography and videography business. And then that's kind of evolved to just a whole lifestyle brand at this point, you know, doing influencing full time. I'm just now, I feel like there's been so many little pivots in my career, but they all kind of revolve around just being creative. So I feel like that's kind of what I'll do forever, you know, is just be creative and have my own businesses.
How did it go from like photography and videography to like realizing that you have influence over people?
Yeah, what's interesting is that, so I had only one account and I would post like my photography of other people. So I would like take, you know, engagement photos and post those in my account. But then I would like be traveling and I'd post a photo of me or a photo of me and Leif. And what I started noticing was that all the photos of me or me and Leif or my life would get way more engagement. Like people would, way more comments and stuff. And I was like, that's interesting because I thought people liked me for my photography. And so then I realized that like people like the person behind the camera as well. So I ended up separating my accounts. I started a new photo account, which was terrifying for me. And I kept my personal account as just my life. And then it's just started growing a lot. And I realized that this was like 9 years ago. So influencing, as we know it today, was not what it is now.
Yeah.
So, but brands started reaching out, being like, we'll pay you $500 to like post about this watch. And I was like, okay, like $500? Cool. And then I started realizing at a certain point, it just made more logical sense to go with the whole being an influencer thing because I was making more money doing that than I was with photography.
I feel like I need to like take a lesson on how to be an influencer because I mean, listen, I only have 27,000 followers on my personal Instagram, but I'm so lazy when it comes to like tagging things. Like someone DM'd me today, actually a million people DM'd me today saying like, oh, where's your shirt from? And I'm like, oh, it's Zara. They're like, well, did you buy it recently? Did you buy it online? Do you have the link? I'm like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed.
I don't link a lot of stuff on my Instagram. I used to try though, because I was like, well, I need to be a good influencer. Like, you know, I want to tell people where I got things and give them the links. Like, and now I realize that's not my thing. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to like entertain and inspire you and have fun. Like, I mean, for them to have fun watching my content and stuff. And if I feel inclined or like I get a ton of questions, sure, I'll link something, but I'm not a fashion blogger. That's what I've realized. Yeah. I'm like, I have a following, but that's not my main priority. And you can't do it all is the thing, because that's how I got extremely burnt out, was trying to do every single thing, trying to do reward style and affiliate links, trying to do YouTube, TikTok, podcast, Instagram, you know, and it's just like, it's too much at a certain point. I mean, you have to delegate. And
I think I need
a
nap after that.
Yeah.
Like that sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting. I mean, you know all about it. Just like running everything. It takes so much work.
Yeah.
So you just have to go with, what you're good at and what you want to do and not try and do everything because you'll just get so burnt out.
How do you think someone leans into finding out what they're good at? Like, I remember when I was growing up, I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur too, but I never like, I was good at soccer. Like, that's what I was good at. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't know what I was good at. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't know I was creative until I graduated college. Mm. Like, I didn't know I was a creative person. And now I lead all the creative for Set Active. And just like, coming up with ideas and this and that. And it's something that clicked after I graduated from college. And I feel like a lot of people write into me and they ask, like, how do you lean into finding what you're good at?
You have to, like, connect with yourself and be, like, still with yourself sometimes. I think so many people, including myself at a certain point, is just so disconnected from themselves. The thing is that's cool is on TikTok, if you want to try out any social media, there are no rules. Like, don't let anyone, you don't have to be put in a box. That's the thing. Like, everyone talks about their niche. It's like, mm-hmm. I gotta find my niche. Your niche is you. It's your personality. People follow for your vibe. And you could kind of talk about whatever as long as you're super interested in it. That being said, I think it's helpful to have something specific that you start out with to, like, build a following. But eventually you should be able to kind of talk about whatever. And if people just like you, it's great. So I think write down a ton of stuff. Like, I love going on walks. I love doing this. You could make a whole series out of, like, my friend wants to do TikTok. And I was just telling her, she goes on walks every day. She's like, oh, I always have these deep thoughts when I'm on my walks. I'm like, make that into a TikTok series.
Yeah.
I go on a walk every day and I'm going to write down, like, my thoughts on the screen and have a trending sound with it. Great. Like, you can make, you can make content out of anything. And finding also what you're good at, I think I got great advice once, and it was basically ask the people the closest to you what they would come to you for advice on. Mm. And tons of people, that was helpful for me to do. And people would even sometimes say stuff that I'm like, oh, really? Like, I didn't realize that you would come to advice or come to me with that, for that.
Yeah.
And so that's interesting. That's something to, like, maybe lean into a little bit more.
Those are all really good tips. Look at you. Okay. I feel like your brain's, like, on fire now. I'm like, what else do you got? What should I be doing on TikTok?
No, here's the thing. My brain, one thing about me, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
I know.
And I always just have so many ideas. Yes.
I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, sometimes Jake will, and we'll be driving back from work because we drive to work together just because we can't be apart. I can't live without him. Poor Jake. And he'll, like, ask me questions and I'll be, like, mid creative thought. And he doesn't know if I'm mid creative thought. Like, it's just where my mind wanders. And I'm like, I need silence.
You're like, be quiet. Yeah, there are business ideas in here.
Yes. I'm like, you can't break that. And he looks and he's like, oh, sorry. Like, he's like, I didn't know. And I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. Just, like, let's stop talking.
I'm the same way with Leif. He'll, like, start talking. I'm like, you're interrupting me. He's like, you're silent. I'm like, you're interrupting my thoughts. Like, please.
Yes. I'm like, I have good things going right now. Yes. And I don't know where I left off.
Exactly. No, I'm the same exact way.
You get it. I feel like that's how all creatives are. But at the same time, like, I think that's so good, that so smart that you said, like, write it down, because you start to see, like, certain themes or trends that start coming out and then you can refer back to it. And I mean, there's so many business ideas that I came up with that I wanted to do before the one I had before set, and then obviously set. And then I also am always thinking about my future too. Like, what do I want to do if I sell set? Do I want to start a different company? Or there's, the sky's the limit, especially when you're creative.
Totally.
I would say.
And everyone is creative in their own way.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, dive into it.
You have to tap into it. Yeah, exactly. So you took a social media break, not on TikTok, but on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to that decision? What was that like for you? Why did you decide to go back? What has it been like since you've gone back? I mean, this is, like, a 6-part question. So
yes,
take it away.
Oh, we could dive in. Instagram, for me, I have a theory that whatever platform you start out on, you get burnt out of it eventually. Like, because you're going so hard on it. So a lot of my friends who are YouTubers, they're OG YouTubers, they kind of hate YouTube now. They're just like, I'm so burned out. I don't have another video idea. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm exhausted. I'm done. But they like Instagram. They like TikTok. They're like, oh, it's fun because it's something different. So because I've been doing Instagram for so long, I think that's just what happened to me. I was like, I'm consuming so much content every day. I'm comparing myself to everyone else. I don't really grow on there. I'm exhausted from having to, you know, take people through my day all day on stories. I feel the need to, like, do cool stuff because I'm like, well, it's boring if I'm just, you know, doing this. I feel the need to link constantly on Instagram stories, come up with new, awesome, creative photo shoot ideas, since that's where I started and people look to me for, like, photo inspo and stuff. Just so much pressure that I definitely put on myself, but I just got to a point where I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't do everything. I can't be everything to every person on every platform. Like, it's too much. So I was like, I'm just going to take a break for, like, a week or two. That's actually what I thought I was going to do at the beginning of the year, just to, like, start the new year off fresh. After a few weeks, I felt better than I had in years.
Oh, wow.
And my mind was so clear. I had so many new ideas. I was feeling just, like, happy and present. And I'm like, okay, I cannot get back on Instagram. Like, this is obviously very good for me. So I need to just not be on there. And I went a month and then I was like, honestly, I still feel really good. Went like 3 months. Basically, I went 6 months without it. Before we went to Europe, I knew I was going to take a bunch of photos. We went on a 2 week Italy and Denmark trip. And I was like, I know I'm going to take a bunch of photos. Kind of feeling like more ready and excited about photos for the first time in so long. Because again, I love being creative. I love taking cool photos. So I was like, maybe I'll get Instagram back. But I didn't want to put pressure on myself and be like, I'm back forever and I'm going to be posting all the time. So what I've now done is like, I feel like I've set the precedent. Like I don't post all day on my stories. I've gone multiple days without posting on stories at all. I post when I want to, if I want to. I still don't really take brand deals on there. I took one recently because I was like, oh, I love the brand and like I can post on stories. But I've just decided, I'm like, it just is what I want to make it. Instagram is what I want to make it. I'll post again if I'm feeling burnt out or overwhelmed. I'm not getting on for the day. Yeah. I'm not getting on for the week. I don't care. Like, it's just supposed to be fun for me now. And I'm grateful to have other platforms that I can rely on as far as like monetarily, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just, it's also a conscious decision of like, I am missing out on money, you know, that I was making before, but I feel like I'm making it in new ways now.
Well, yeah. I mean, and also you're happier. And yes. I feel like when you like have your mindset right, then other opportunities fall into your lap. Like naturally.
Totally.
So I feel like it was, you know, the right thing. And I feel like people take Instagram breaks for different reasons. I took one back in, I think it was last year. It was the year I won Forbes 30 under 30.
Mm.
And I think I was feeling so much pressure as like an entrepreneur to be this like super buttoned up CEO, like that had this rule book of like being super professional and like, you know, like at Emily Weiss, like not sharing every part of my life on stories or, you know, not showing the relatable side or things that gave me anxiety. And like, I didn't feel like that was me because I am an open book and I do share so much. Like I opened up my desk drawer today and I found all of my son's first birthday thank you cards that I never sent out.
Yeah.
Wrote them. Wrote all of
oh,
them.
No, no, no.
Did not send.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. Love. And I posted it and I got so many DMs from like moms being like, this is so relatable. Mm-hmm. And like, I realized even through like the Reddit hate that I got a couple months back that like everyone's like, that's not how a CEO should act or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there's no rule book. Like there's no rule book to A, how you want to use your Instagram. There's no rule book to being a CEO. There's no rule book to who you want to be as a human being. And I feel like Instagram was putting that pressure, especially on me, like without realizing it, that I was comparing and comparing and comparing. And I was like, fuck, like maybe I shouldn't be sharing this or maybe I shouldn't be saying bad words. And I'm like, that's not me.
Right.
Like I'm going to be me.
Totally.
And I took a huge break and it was like so refreshing. And I think social media breaks are easy and fun. And
yeah.
It gives.
It's important.
It's important. But people are so scared to take them because they feel like they have FOMO or whatever it might be.
FOMO. And people also will be like, how, like I'll have creator friends of mine that are like, how are you doing that? Like, how do you say no to brand deals on Instagram? Like, and I'm like, because that doesn't make me happy. Like
yeah.
Money, it doesn't matter. I don't care if it's money. It's like the first priority in my life is how I feel.
Yeah.
100%. And that took me time to get there because I've always been, like I said, very career and money driven. But it's just crazy. It like was proof to me that I was on the right track when I did take the social media break. And I was like, I'm doing what's best for myself. I'm not even thinking about money wise or career wise. I'm thinking about what does JC need? Like, what do I need right now? And I again was like,
it
didn't suffer at all monetarily.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, okay, so it is true. You just have to do what makes you happy, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the influence, I hate that word, by the way. I wish someone would come out with a different word.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, it's so cringy to me. Like,
yeah.
The
well,
word
it has negative connotations, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah. But being an influencer definitely isn't for me because I don't know how to be one. But I've recently felt, not recently, it actually changed my skin, but I fell in love with this product from Tower 28. I can't stop talking about it. I might as well own half the company because I can't stop talking about it. And Amy, the CEO, was like, I can send you an affiliate code. And I forgot who I was with last night. I was at the Ami Song event and I was like, is an affiliate code where like you make money off when people use your code? And I should know this because we don't do those at SET, but that's why I probably didn't know what
right.
it was. They're like, yes. And I texted her back. I was like, no, I don't need money off the code. I just want to give the discount yeah. to my followers. And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, no, I don't want the money. Like, don't give it to me. And then Ritual reached out for like prenatals when I was first trying to get pregnant. And they were like, we want to like pay you to do like five stories and one. I'm like, I'm so overwhelmed. Yes. I can't. No.
Sometimes it's a lot. Again, when you're already running a whole other company, it's like, it better serves you to put all your energy into it anyway. Yeah. It's maybe not even worth the little like deals here and there.
Oh,
you know?
I still to this day haven't done one.
Yeah.
Like I told Amy, I was like, don't give me whatever generates from this. I know a ton of people bought this spray because it is life changing.
Well, wait, what is it? I need to know.
It's the SOS spray.
Okay. I've heard of that.
And it's great. It's like, I think it's $28 for a bottle. I literally went on yesterday. I bought 4 bottles because I was like, I think it's going to sell out. I don't know.
You're like, Hayley
Bieber
posted
about it too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She posted, she didn't link it. She was just like, when my skin's acting up, this is what I use. And like, it was in a picture. And I was like, well,
you're like, well, gotta buy the whole lot.
This is what happens with the power of TikTok. Yes. Everything that gets posted sells out.
100%.
So anyways, that's my holy grail product. And no, I'm not getting paid to talk about this. I'm just obsessed. You said that you work with your husband, or you started working with your husband when you got engaged. What did that do for your guys' relationship? Did it like bring you guys closer? Did it like start fights? How do you guys shut on and shut off like between the two of you?
It comes with so many pros and cons. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that it has made us closer, and it's cool because I feel like we're building this like dream life together and we're both invested in it, you know? It also, we both talked about this actually recently. We were saying we feel like it made us more codependent on each other.
Okay.
I was always a super independent person. Like before I got married, I was like, I will do whatever alone. I will travel alone. I don't care. I'll stay at a hotel room alone. Like I just didn't care about any of just being alone in general. I didn't care.
Wow, and must then, be nice. I cannot be alone.
Really?
Oh my God, no.
Well, then once I got married though, once we'd been married for like 2 years, I was so codependent. I was like, don't leave. Like I just had to be with him 24/7. And in the past 2 years, we have both agreed and been like, we need to have our own things. Like we need to have our own hobbies. You need to go out and hang out with your friends. I hang out with mine. We can still come together and hang out. But when you're with each other 24 hours a day for literally like 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a bit much. Like
how
you start
long have you guys
clashing.
Been together?
So we've been married for 6 years, together for 7.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it just became too much. We were spending way too much time together. The main thing that I feel like was causing also like, you know, arguments and stuff was that. So because it was technically my business and stuff, and he kind of like came on to it, and I am a more dominant person, I guess. And in our relationship, I was like, I don't like feeling like I'm your boss. I don't like feeling like, hey, do this, 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 and this. Oh, did you get that done? And like, it was like, yeah, it's definitely not easy to work with your spouse full time.
I don't think Garrett and I could ever work together. Like ever, ever.
That's a lot.
Ever.
And certain personality types are compatible and certain ones aren't for working together. And I do think that Leif and I are good as a team working together. So
that's
it's
great.
So overall it's good.
Yeah.
But there are negatives to it, for sure.
Well, I'll let my husband do his real estate thing and support him,
Perfect.
Cheer him on. We could not.
Yeah.
No. I think that would do very bad things for our relationship.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. That's for sure.
How did you meet him?
So I met him on a blind date through my childhood friend, actually, who married his brother. So we're sister-in-laws now.
Oh,
I know
my
it
God.
Gets confusing, but I've known my sister-in-law, Allie, for years, like since 6th grade.
Uh-huh.
And we just like kept in touch here and there. And then she was getting married to Leif's brother. I was going to take her engagement photos. And she was like, you should go on a date with Leif, basically, who's my husband now. And she set us up on a blind date, didn't know anything about him, didn't know what he looked like, anything. And I saw a photo
right before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we went on a date and just like hit it off so well.
Really?
We were together ever since. Yeah.
Oh my God. And he lived in Phoenix?
Yeah. We lived like 15 minutes apart.
My husband's from Scottsdale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I went to U of A.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Yeah. Arizona is... I have a love-hate relationship with it. I like it a lot, but it's too hot. It's just too hot for me. I'm sorry. Like when I go back in the summer, I'm like, I'm sorry. It's going to be a no from me, 100%.
So you guys have been together for 7 years. Mm-hmm. You've recently opened up on TikTok. And if you don't want to talk about it, it's okay, about your infertility journey. How long have you guys been trying?
Like 3 years.
Okay.
It's weird because I still am obviously on the journey, but I also just haven't been giving energy to it for the past like year. So last summer, I did 3 IUIs.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with IUI. And they all obviously didn't work. So Leif had leukemia when he was younger. And so we don't know if that's the cause of it. But based off the test results, we think that could be it. I don't really know where to go. Like, we think we'll probably do IVF eventually. It's so weird because I just feel like, first of all, I grew up super religious and everyone around me just had kids super young.
Yeah.
So I already felt like at age 25 or whatever, you know, that I was... behind. I know this is shocking, but that I was like late to the game. Like so many of my friends had kids already. And so then you add, you know, 3 years onto that. And it's like, I just started to feel like, oh, dang, I'm like super behind now. But then as I get older and just the longer it goes on, I have more perspective. I realize that, first of all, I'm happy that I don't have kids yet based off of just like the past year or two. I've gone through so much growth.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm such a, I don't know, I'll be a better parent already than I would have been. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just feel more prepared in so many ways. So it's the classic thing that everyone's like, you know, with time, you just see that everything will work out how it's supposed to. But it is daunting sometimes because we just don't know what the future holds.
When you guys first were like, let's try for a baby.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that it was going to be hard? No. You didn't?
No.
Wow.
I wasn't feeling rushed about it. I was just like, oh, whenever it happens, it happens. Like, but I also was expecting it to work in, you know, a few months or something.
Of course.
And then 6 months went by and I was like, okay. I'm like, that's fine. Like, I'm not super stressed about it. And then after a year, we went to get testing. And that's when we found out that there was like an issue. 6 months after that, we kept just trying naturally. We're like, well, maybe it'll just happen, you know. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time for people. Is like, it just kind of
happens.
Yeah.
When you least expect it.
Exactly. So we're like, oh, maybe it'll just work. And then we did the 3 IUIs. None of those worked. And I was feeling so defeated after that. I was like, I'm done. Like, this is so taxing. Like, they're like, do you want to do IVF? And I was like, not right now. Like, I cannot. I need at least a year. Well, I think I said 6 months. I was like, I need 6 months of a break. Like, it's so emotionally,
I can't
physically
imagine.
Taxing. Yeah, I went like 6 months. And then that's when I actually deleted Instagram, was 6 months after my IUI. I started within that 6 months, weirdly, I started this whole like other healing journey where I was like, I'm the happiest I've ever been, which was so weird to me because I just got done with like this emotional roller coaster and nothing was solved.
Right.
So I was like, I should be devastated. I was devastated for like 2 months. I just feel like I went on this whole journey, deleted Instagram, was without that for 6 months and just working on myself and some other stuff for like my career. And our relationship is the best it had been anyway. So I feel like it's been a blessing in disguise, I guess you could say. And I just feel like it'll all work out when it's supposed to. But of course, there are moments where I'm just like, when's it going to happen, though? You know?
Yeah.
And how?
I wish I could like sit here. I mean, I'm probably the worst person to talk to because I'm on my, you know, my second pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I was honestly, because all my friends were having trouble getting pregnant. I had a friend, same thing. She just did IVF and it was successful after 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard. Like, I feel like we kind of almost grew apart because I got pregnant on the first try both times. And I was like, I can't explain why,
right.
How. Like, they're like, well, how? And I'm like,
I do not know.
I have no idea. Like, I really don't. The way that you're carrying yourself as you talk about it, like, I give you so much respect, so many props, because I've wanted to be a mom my whole life. And if, like, I just don't know what it would be like to go through that. And I just have so much respect for you. But
thank
also,
you.
Like, your outlook on it. You're so confident and positive. Like, how do you lean into this mindset? I feel like it's so hard. Like, people naturally would probably be like, why me? Or like, what did I do to deserve this? But like, not even just about infertility, but kind of about everything that you take on in your life, even shitting your Skims. Like, you always turn it into always turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'll be really helpful for like my listeners to understand your thought process and how you take your mind there.
First of all, I think I'm a very adaptable person, which just in general, which helps me in a lot of areas of my life. Like you said, I think I'm good at making the best out of any situation and kind of using it to my benefit in a way. So with the fertility stuff, I feel like I've used it to my benefit where I'm like, I'm going to grow from this and become a better person. Like, it just, to me, I can't physically sit around and be like, I can be sad sometimes, but physically when I'm just sitting around like moping a lot, it makes me so depressed and miserable that I'm like, I just can't live my life this way. So for me, I just think I'm a naturally kind of adaptable person who's like, okay, how can we make this like the best thing it can be? But advice that I think is helpful, and at least has been for me with the infertility thing specifically, is thinking of pros and cons. So every single time I would like kind of get into that mindset, because I was actually trying to get pregnant along with 3 of my best friends and they've all gotten pregnant but me. So it's like so easy in that moment to be like, what, like, why me? Like, why is this happening to me? This doesn't make any sense. This is so unfair. Like, and I had moments like that for sure where I would like just sob and be like, this is so unfair. Like, I've been trying for the longest and I still am not. And they all have like 2 kids now, you know, or are on their second pregnancy or whatever. But I would always think of pros and cons. I'd be like, okay, the pros, I can be completely spontaneous. I am, you know, free in this way. And focusing on it, like, deeply. And also surrounding myself with people who are also in, like, not the parenting stage of life. Because even though I love being around my friends who are parents and I can learn so much from them, sometimes you have to be with people who are not in that stage 100%. Of life. I think that's very, very important. Like, there would be times where I'd feel guilty because I'm like, a lot of my closest friends have kids. But I would be like, I have to, like, be around other people and make other friends because it just reminds me constantly of, like, what I don't have. And when I'm with these other friends who are just, like, married, young, you know, people like Leif and I, it just makes me feel normal again.
Yeah.
I will, like, listen to podcasts that are super uplifting. Like, I don't like to wallow in things or even consume a lot of negative content because it just makes me feel like, oh, gosh. Like, then I start feeling that fear and stuff. And I don't want to feel that way.
You're really choosing, like, your own path. It was mm-hmm. what it comes down to. Like, you're making the decision. You're not following what the norm is or, like, what other people are supposed to do. So many people, especially with who they surround themselves with, think that, well, that's my group of friends. That's who I have to hang out with. And that's not true. Like, I have my mom friends. I have my friends who aren't moms. I even have younger friends who are all, like, my little sisters. And for a while, I was feeling like, oh my God, like, where do I fit in with all these groups? But you don't have to fit in. Like, you can have all these different friends and go to them for different things. And it's okay. And it's normal.
Absolutely. And even though I have a right to, sometimes it feels like it just doesn't do anything good for me.
So your best friend, Chelsea, mm-hmm. had a baby mm-hmm. and you have a podcast with her.
Yes.
And it's the What We Said podcast. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys, I mean, I'm sure everyone who listens or who's listening to this podcast episode probably knows what your podcast is, but what do you guys talk about on there?
Oh my gosh, we go all over the board. It's so fun. Like I just said, not putting something in a box. I feel like it's fun because we did, for example, recently we did In Our Therapy Era and we basically had a live therapy session with each other. We're like, here are the things we're struggling with individually. Here's the things we're working on. Here's the things we've been learning lately. And then the next week we did a Kardashian deep dive and we just like analyzed the Kardashians and their dynamics and all of that type of stuff. I like that we can kind of go wherever with our podcast. But that being said, our podcast has a very girl sleepover type of feel to it.
I love that.
So it's kind of just a mix of whatever we're interested in at the moment. And it's a lot of like figuring out what you're doing in your 20s, reacting to embarrassing stories that people write in, confessions, all that type of stuff.
Have there been challenges like working with your best friend and literally having, I mean, a podcast is essentially having a separate business. What's it like working with your best friend and then also working with your best friend who got pregnant and had a baby?
Right. There's so many different dynamics. I think, again, there are certain people who it works for and certain people who don't. Like, I know people who have tried to start a podcast with their friend. They last like 6 months and are like, absolutely not. Like, this is not it. Again, I think for us, where one of us lacks, the other is strong and vice versa. We have very different roles. We have very different personalities, but we've always just had insanely good chemistry and dynamic. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where people are always like, don't start a business with your friend. It could go so wrong. But I think that's the magic of our podcast is that we're best friends. We have so much history. Our podcast would not be what it is without that specific chemistry.
Yeah.
So it just works incredibly well. That being said, there are definitely like little things that we disagree on, but we also have different roles, which I think is important. And we are very aligned on the vision of the podcast. Like we both have the same goals for the podcast. You know, we're not like one of us isn't trying to like, let's blow it up to be crazy. And one of us isn't like, let's just keep it. I don't know. We're both kind of come together and we feel the same way about it. Her becoming a mom was hard because she had a hard pregnancy as well. But I was also while she was pregnant, I was going through my infertility. So it was like rough there for a second, for me mentally, because I was like, oh my gosh, like she's so sick, but I'm also like getting stuck with needles every day. So neither of us are like on our A game, you know? And it's hard because I have this complex about me where I always just feel like I'm always the strong friend. Like I'm always the one, like I said, I have that support. Kind of like, supportive, dominant energy. And I felt like I couldn't even be that. So there have been moments where it's like it ebbs and flows. But again, I think we also have a lot of help with Dear Media, obviously. They do so much for us.
Yeah.
I feel like if we didn't have that, it would be so much harder. But I think we stick really good to our roles, honestly. And I think we work really well together. And we're pretty, you know, open about communicating with each other. If either of us are ever overwhelmed or whatever, I feel like we'll
just
say that.
You guys talk about it.
Yeah.
I love that. I feel like it all comes down to communication at the end of the day mm-hmm. in anything that you do.
Yes.
Relationship, your friendships, whatever, you know, employee to boss, whatever it might be. I think it always comes down to communication. What's in the pipeline for you? Anything exciting that you can spill on Ready, Set, Spill that you haven't announced yet?
I will spill that I'm starting my own brand.
Oh my God. What's it called?
I won't say what. I can't say either of those things yet. I wish I could, but there have been so many delays with it that I'm not confident of when.
Okay, so can you say like what it is or like in what realm is it? Like,
I will say that it's not a clothing brand. It's not like anything you wear. It's not like jewelry, athleisure. Like, it's nothing like that. And it's very on brand. That's what I'll say.
Oh my God. I'm like trying to think of what it is.
It is like, I feel like it makes so much sense, but I also could see people like not seeing it coming because it's kind of random. Like, it's something that I've wanted to do for years, by the way.
Oh my God.
So I've had the idea and the name for like 3 years. And then
now I've been, you're doing it.
Yes. And I've been working on it like super hard for over a year. So
I can't wait to see. Yes, oh my God. I'm so excited.
You'll love it. It's so exciting. It's so fun. I hate to be that person who's like, big things on the pipeline, like can't say specifics. It's like, it's so annoying. But
I know.
With like the delays I've been facing, I'm like, I'm not for sure. Because I hope it launches in like 2 months.
Oh my God,
but I don't know
soon.
If it will.
Okay.
Maybe 3 months.
I'm excited.
Stay tuned. I'll tell you more details off air.
You gave so much advice throughout this whole episode that I know I'll be taking with myself. As we wrap up, what is one piece of advice that you want to leave with our listeners?
Oh my goodness. So many things. I think I'll just honestly double down on like kind of the putting yourself in a box type of thing. Like, this past year, I've just found so much freedom in like being my own person, doing what I want to do, being my own best friend, like spending time alone and understanding just who I am, I guess. And I just encourage everyone out there, like, don't let anyone tell you who you are or tell you like you need to be, because what was overwhelming me too, even with Instagram, was people would be like, you know, my management would be like, you need to link more. Like, we should start this business venture. We should do this. And I was getting so overwhelmed. And when I follow my gut, everything works out. And you have to be connected to yourself to even like have that. You can't just, you know, constantly be drowning in like social media and distracting yourself and then expect to be super connected. So I think just like connect to yourself. Like, don't let anyone tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing, like what career path you should follow, and you will never be led astray.
I love that. I'm going to follow that.
Love that.
So if people want to follow you, where I'm going to say follow her TikTok. That's where I like, you know, get my enjoyment of following you. We're friends on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I felt like I knew you before I actually knew you. But if people want to follow you, where can they find you?
Yeah, basically JC Marie Smith on everything. It's JACI Marie Smith. And then our podcast is What We Said Podcast. And
amazing.
It's a blast.
Yeah. Yay. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It was
so
fun.
I had the best time. I know. Seriously. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.